From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica Radio stations and affiliates nationwide. Sean Hannity, the popular Fox News host, said on his program, in the wake of the Senate report on Russia's interference in our election, that just like he's been saying for years, the report proves there was no collusion between Russia and the Trump campaign in 2016. Except that exactly the opposite is true. After 3 years, Republican and Democratic senators released a nearly 1,000-page report that not only confirms the findings of the special counsel Robert Mueller's investigation, but goes much further in confirming high levels of contact between Trump's campaign and Russian operatives. In fact, the Manhattan District Attorney's Office on Thursday attempted to reinstate the indictment of former Trump campaign chair Paul Manafort based on the damning findings of the report. My guest is Matt Gertz, senior fellow at Media Matters for America. His latest article is called Fox News Really Doesn't Care About Voluminous Evidence of Trump-Russia Malfeasance. Welcome to the program, Matt.
Thanks for having me.
So I just briefly mentioned what Sean Hannity said, but can you expand on how Fox News hosts like him have been treating this Senate report, if they are at all covering it?
Yeah, it disappeared awfully quickly off of Fox's airwaves. You know, they have spent years generating this alternate narrative in which any claims that the Trump campaign engaged in any sort of malfeasance with Russia during the 2016 election is all a bunch of lies. It's a hoax. It's a conspiracy theory. They've been saying this for years. And then this report dropped on Tuesday from a committee that is led by Republicans. And it said that there is a wide range of Russian efforts to try to help Trump win the 2016 election, and that Trump's campaign was willing to accept aid from that country's government. It's filled with incredibly damning details about Paul Manafort, about George Papadopoulos, about the Russian effort to suborn our democracy that happened during 2016. And Fox just disappeared it incredibly quickly. They don't want to talk about it. They had a few segments on Tuesday, but by 6 a.m. on Wednesday morning, they were done. And it just stopped talking about it altogether. It's really a sign of how willing the network is to be a propaganda outlet for this administration and what they're willing to sweep under the rug to keep Trump in power.
We apparently also found through the Senate report that Trump himself was very much aware of the WikiLeaks email hack and was very much willing, which of course was obtained from Russian operatives, and was very much willing to use that or interested in using it as a way for his campaign to get ahead. So, I mean, we're talking about implication at the highest levels of the Trump campaign. That's Trump himself.
Yeah, I mean, if you'll recall, there were several different tranches of documents that were stolen by the Russian military intelligence. These were documents from the Democratic National Committee, the Democratic Congressional Committee, and from John Podesta, who is Hillary Clinton's campaign chair. The DNC documents were released very early, right around the time of the Democratic convention in July. But the Podesta emails were not released until October. And so after the DNC documents were released in July, Trump became very, very curious about what else WikiLeaks could have. Report explains that the documents were provided to WikiLeaks by Russian military intelligence. And so Trump wanted to know what else that they could have, what else could be coming out. And so he tasked someone to look into it, to find out what was going on. It was Roger Stone, the longtime dirty trickster who has been Trump's political consigliere for decades.
And who Roger Trump Stone, just pardoned.
Who Trump just commuted his sentence.
Right, yes. Right. Yes, thank you.
who had engaged in, according to the special counsel, basically had been lying to Congress in order to protect the president, to cover up what he had done. So what you have here is a Trump political operative being asked to find out about illegal activity involved in the campaign, not to try to stop it, but to try to benefit from it as much as possible. And everyone involved seems to think that he succeeded. The Trump campaign thinks that he got solid, useful information about further details. We don't know exactly what Stone had learned or how, because he used a variety of different methods to conceal his communications. But it's quite clear that the Trump campaign was trying to benefit from Russian interference in the election.
Another connection that the Senate report laid out was the links between Paul Manafort, who was campaign chair of the Trump campaign, his associate and colleague Konstantin Khilemnik, and Khilemnik's links to the Russian military intelligence agency, the GRU, which was the agency that we know obtained the emails from the Clinton campaign server. So if, you know, it's been simplified that Trump campaign colluded with Russia, that Putin helped Trump win. But if this Senate report is true, and there's no reason to believe that Senate Republicans would put something out that would be damning to Trump, then you basically have Trump linked to Manafort, linked to Khilemnik, who is directly linked, apparently, to the GRU, which is the Russian military agency, intelligence agency.
Yes, the crucial detail here that the report lays out is that Khilemnik didn't just have some sort of nebulous ties to Russian intelligence, but it actually describes him as a Russian intelligence officer, someone who was working for the Russian government. And this is someone who has been a close business associate of Paul Manafort for many, many years. And the report says that he likely served as a channel to Manafort for the Russian intelligence services. And it also found that there was some information, information that is not released in the report, that's been redacted, suggesting that Khilemnik may have been connected to the hack and leak operation itself. So this is a very direct line between the top ranks of the Trump campaign to his campaign chair himself, to the Russian intelligence effort to help Trump win the election. This is incredibly damning stuff. The sort of thing that, you know, if you had told people was happening a few years ago, they would look at you and be shocked. But I think what we've seen at this point is that the Republicans have cleaved so closely to Trump, and they're so unwilling to step back in any way, that it's to some extent deadening the story.
We also apparently see implications against Jared Kushner and Donald Trump Jr., Trump's son-in-law and son, respectively, who, of course, were working very closely with the Trump campaign, continue to work closely with Trump in the White House and his re-election campaign. And none of this should surprise us, right, Matt? I mean, when we look at the topic on which the House impeached Trump, which was Trump trying to extract a political favor from Ukraine's president to get an advantage for the 2020 election, and Trump's own public admission that he would be willing to accept help from countries depending upon what the help was, that he, you know, has been quite open in soliciting help, and his operatives have been open in soliciting help from other nations. This shouldn't surprise us. This seems now, you know, 3-4 years later, very consistent with Trump's MO.
Well, and this is what Chairman Adam Schiff of the House Intelligence Committee warned during the impeachment trial itself in the Senate. He said, look, Trump is someone who has done this before. We saw between him and, you know, accepting help from Russia to win the 2016 election. He's someone who has just done it again with regards to trying to get aid out of Ukraine to help with the 2020 election. And that if he's not removed from office, he will absolutely try to do it again. I think it's quite clear that the president has no real limitations on the types of help he's willing to accept from foreign governments, and that the conservative media is going to do everything it can to try to sweep those damning details under the rug to help him across the finish line.
Whenever the topic of Russia's interference in the 2016 election, the Trump campaign's willingness to accept that help, whenever that is raised among conservatives, lawmakers, or media figures, they jump on the issue of the Steele dossier. We hear them talk about the Steele dossier, named after Christopher Steele. And I understand that there is a small section in the Senate report on the Steele dossier. Given the Republican senators and House of Representatives' obsession with the Steele dossier, what ended up in the Senate report on this issue? And did Fox News fixate on that aspect of it at all?
Yeah, that was the part of the report that Fox wanted to spend the most time on.
Of course. I believe it was just 80 pages out of 953.
Absolutely. But, you know, they've spent a very long time building up this complex counter-narrative that the real problem during the 2016 election was that was the investigation into Russian interference itself, that the FBI and DOJ were engaged in a sort of political attack on the Trump campaign. Now, this is belied by the fact that information about that FBI investigation into Russian interference and whether it was deliberately designed to help Trump didn't leak during during that time, during that campaign. And in fact, you saw articles from the New York Times and elsewhere saying that there was no connection seen by the FBI between Trump and Russia. But Fox has spent a lot of time ginning up this conspiracy theory, and I think the Steele dossier does help them do it. It appears to be a set of memos that did not turn out to be particularly credible, that were used at times in different ways by that federal investigation, but were not the root cause of that investigation, and certainly don't in any way debunk all of the obvious collusion that was going on involving Paul Manafort and Roger Stone and all the rest. But it is something that they are going to want to fixate on, and they're going to keep that in the dialogue around Trump and Russia as much as they can.
Is it clear to you that the Republican and Democratic senators involved in writing this report agree on the basic facts that Russia tried to very hard, the government of Russia, tried very hard to influence the Trump campaign, tried to help them, and are at it again in 2020?
Yes, they seem quite clear on that point. The main area of disagreement that you see is that the congressional Republicans, the Senate Republicans, having assembled all of this information about ties between Trump and Russia, end up concluding that they found no evidence that Trump and his campaign colluded with the Russian government in their efforts to meddle in the election. Meanwhile, the Democrats look at the same set of facts. They look at Manafort and Kilimnik, and they say, this is what collusion looks like. If you expect more than what you're already seeing here, you're just not likely to find it. And in fact, you're not looking for the full story.
The fact that the Senate report was able to clarify more than the Mueller report did, you know, you just sort of have to wonder about the timing. I remember in the lead up to the release of the special counsel's probe, there was a lot of anticipation, a lot of excitement, a lot of fear from the Trump people. And then, you know, it was a bit of an anticlimax. Here we have a report whose timing could have been so much better, whose results are so much more damning, and that came out at a time when, you know, people are wearied, they're fatigued. The impeachment process on a different matter is here and gone. and they're gearing up for the election. And it seems as though all matters, all of these issues point to a general rug sweeping effort that this report is going to end up in.
Well, they did spend quite a lot of time generating the report. So I don't want to be too uncharitable about the sort of timeline. However, it is kind of interesting that they decided to drop it in the middle of the Democratic convention rather than before the convention or the following week during the Republican convention, when it would have been perhaps more damaging to Trump. I think it's difficult to get away from that that possibility.
So there's also news that broke this week that Steve Bannon was arrested, chief White House strategist, arrested along with three others on charges of defrauding donors to a massive crowdfunding campaign to fund Trump's wall, border wall. This was a private effort that Trump is now distancing himself from, but his own son, Donald Jr., spoke at an event last year of this organization that raised this money, and Bannon and his colleagues basically lined their pockets with this money. To me, and I'm wondering if you feel the same way, all of this suggests, and of course Bannon was involved in helping to elect Trump as well, all of this suggests that this is basically a band of criminals, if not crime adjacent people, who have taken over the White House. And even though Bannon is, you know, was had left the White House, he maintains a support for Trump, and he's linked to Trump. I mean, the time after time, person after person is implicated in these very dirty deeds.
Yeah, he's running out of close associates, I would say. You know, Steve Bannon is someone who, you know, was the campaign manager or chair, I should say, of Trump's campaign in 2016, subsequently was in the White House as his chief strategist, and was picked up by federal law enforcement on the boat of his Chinese exile patrons, and you know, has been arrested and is now going to be on trial with the possibility of spending a very long time in jail. It looks like that there was basically a grift involved here.
It would be really interesting to see how Fox covers this, if at all.
It will be, yes, because they spent a lot of time puffing up this particular organization that Bannon and Coulthard led. They spent a lot of airtime basically telling their audience all about it, and perhaps leading many of them to donate to this effort that ended up lining Bannon's pockets to the tune of over $1 million, according to the indictment. Mm.
Well, Matt, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. Where can people read your writings for Media Matters?
You can read it all at mediamatters.org.
And we'll link to your latest piece from our website. Thanks so much, Matt.
Thank you.
My guest has been Matt Gaertz, Senior Fellow at Media Matters for America. His latest article is called Fox News Really Doesn't Care About Voluminous Evidence of Trump-Russia Malfeasance. We've been discussing, among other things, the Senate report on Russian interference in the 2016 election, Volume 5 of which was just released a few days ago. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at RU with Sonali.